All right. Hey, you ready to find out how mindfulness could be the secret ingredients to a hotter sex life and deeper intimacy? Then you are in the right place.
Raw, uncut, and unapologetic. Welcome to Men Talking Mindfulness.
Hey, John McCaskill here with my co-host Will Schneider over there. And today we have Sophie Beckering. Sophie is an intimacy coach and has a unique perspective on how mindfulness can transform men's sex lives and deepen connections with their partners. She shares that often people achieve career success but neglect their intimate lives, which is essential for true fulfillment. It's not just about sex. It's about embracing vulnerability and understanding the complexities of intimacy. So there you have it. This is going to be a great episode. Super excited about the conversation. Great to see you, Will, and welcome, Sophie. So good to see you.
Thank you. Great to be here. Great to be
So happy
here.
to
Thank
be
you so.
here.
Yes, likewise. We're all here together. And just to let you know, hey, you want to get a little more intimate about what Men Talking Mindfulness is doing out in the world? You can just simply text MTM to 33777 and find out what's going on our show. Or if you want to sponsor our show as well, just text MTM to 33777. We appreciate that sponsorship. Or dive a little bit deeper, hit up our website at Men talkingmindfulness.com. All right. So if we're going to ground everybody in this space, because we're really excited about every time we talk about sex in this show, I think the men get out there, get excited. So we're going to ground, right? And we're going to probably talk a little bit later about how breathing practices can help us create that intimacy with what you're going to talk about today. But one breath grounding practice. Let's exhale the breath all the way out. Let it go. Really get empty, completely out. Push the breath, push the breath, even pull the navel in to push the breath out. Take a big, giant belly breath in. Keep going a little bit more, a little bit more. Top it off all the way into the head. Hold that breath and let it go softly. Awesome. Well, thank you all for being here, for tuning in, for sharing our podcast, for helping us grow and become more mindful. Sophie, I'm just gonna jump right in and why don't you give us a little background about yourself and how you found this work that you're doing?
Great question to start. So let's see. So I've been exploring.
Oh no.
Man,
Sophie, did we
okay. Well,
lose you?
Sophie's a little frozen right now, and she's making a funny face on our screen right now. She's frozen. So that's what we got right now as we do this. I
Raw,
also want to read
uncut,
her
and
LinkedIn
unapologetic. Yeah.
as we go through this. Why don't maybe text
Yeah, I'm gonna cut her out and bring her
cut her
back in
out.
here
I
in a
want to bring her
second.
back in.
Yeah,
So
go
hey,
ahead with
so
that.
one thing as and I got this. So as I was exploring this topic today, I really kind of dove in and used the AI to just get a good summary about what this tantric sex is all about, and really what it's involved. And what I've learned is it's a Hindu and Buddhist way of creating more intimacy in relationships. Not just in a sexual realm, which helps to enhance relationships in all of your life. They use breathing practices. There's different sexual positions that help to create more of that intimacy in these tantric practices. And Sylvie's going to kind of describe some of those as well. It's just like, how can you, and what we're trying to learn here with Sophie as she works her way back onto the show, is like, how do we create that deeper, more meaningful connection instead of just sex being, just something that could be almost a burden for maybe older relationships? How do you create more of that spark using these techniques? And this is a practice just like anything else. And it's not just a solo practice, it involves somebody else. So there's obviously a lot of communication that's involved here in order to create that deeper empathy, which is really important. John, anything while we wait, you want to add
Yeah,
there?
what yeah, and we'll discuss this back when Sophie comes
Yeah.
back on. She is down in Costa Rica, which we were
Yeah.
discussing right before we went live, so maybe her connection isn't 100%. But one thing that we talked about, I've talked about with Sophie in the past, is the importance of like a man
Yeah.
being open and vulnerable to open his partner up to him, right? A lot of
Oh.
us are like, hey, we have to you know, we have to look a certain way. We have to have our six pack abs, and we have to, you know, we have to be endowed with a certain size, you know, what
piece of salami. Yeah, exactly.
and it's not about that. There's some attraction there that may be physical, but there's a lot in being open and being vulnerable, and then being able to, as a man, turn inwards and really do work outside of the bedroom for the bedroom. That's emotional work, that's physical work. And I'm not talking physical in the gym. I'm talking like physical time by yourself.
Masturbation, yeah. John, you're talking about masturbation.
I'm speaking around that topic, but there's a lot there. So I've texted Sophie. Let's see, we've lost her here. And you know, we can just keep talking about this, and then hopefully get her back on.
Thing, if you want to, like, I got to say, John, this is not through, you know, I just knew I was in this relationship a while ago, and you know, I actually talked about this on an episode earlier episode, probably like season two or three. But I was just, you know, I was not satisfying my partner. I was definitely not lasting long enough. And I picked up a book on premature ejaculation. And I did my own exercises in this book. It was actually, they call it actually edging in the tantric realm. So like working myself right up to the moment of ejaculation, and then, you know, and then just like not going to that place and just kind of keeping that sexual energy in and also lasting longer so I can satisfy my partner. And it was like, you know, it was a fun, you know, exercise for sure. And there was a moment where, you know, I engaged with my partner in that same kind of activity, and, you know, it just brought us really close, and, you know, and we just had more fun in all, you know, all areas of our life, because we knew we had that, you know, that really deep, intimate connection in the bedroom that was always there for us when we wanted it. So everything else we did together, you know, it's just even more fun because we knew we had that, like this kind of the ultimate playground between two people, if you will, that was there when we wanted it. And it was something fun. And that also opened us up into like just having more communication, like, how are you feeling? Is this good? Does that feel all right? You know? And that was very helpful in improving that relationship. It ended eventually, but obviously I'm still single. but you know, I mean, sorry, I wanted to put in the work.
I mean, it was a laugh at you. I'm just how you managed that.
I know. It's like, what the fuck, right? I mean, God damn it.
Man, here we are.
I know. We're still waiting for Sophie to come
back. Yeah, I'm not sure if we're going to get her back. Let's see. So I'm trying to bring up some stuff that she had sent me a while back in preparation for this show. I'm sorry to keep asking you to keep talking, Will. I'm trying.
No, that's okay. So what, you know, here's what I'll do. So you're connecting with Sophie?
Trying to.
Okay. Well, hey, audience, thanks for hanging in there. You know, here's like, I'll just give you a little background, a little peek behind the curtain of what we're kind of looking, the questions that we're going to kind of ask. So, you know, maybe this will keep you on the hook a little bit, but like maybe you can also think about these questions in a way that maybe how they can improve your relationships as we, you know, get Sophie back on here and she can answer these relationships, you know. So, you know, why do you believe sex and intimacy are vital for our lives, and what impact do they have on us? So I think, you know, very interesting question. How about just imagine being a sex therapist, right? And you're talking to all, or tantric therapist, I don't know what she actually refers to herself as.
I think intimacy therapist.
Intimacy therapist. So, you know, and she sees so many different people, which we'll hear about, and also hear what are some common themes you're discovering about sex and intimacy that make it challenging for some people? In your work, you know, how can individuals or couples reclaim this important area of their lives, right? So if you're out there and listening and you know, your sex life with your partner is kind of flailing a little bit and you're looking to bring that spark back on, you know, what can you do? You know, and that's what Sophie's going to help us to understand. How about this? Can you share? This will probably already. I'm already laughing and I'm reading the question. I can only imagine. So, you know, can you share some of the best practices for maintaining intimacy you know, that you've come across and you work with. Here we go. So a specific question for men. For men who feel disconnected from their sex lives, what's the first step that they consider? And another one here. How important is honest communication in fostering a healthy sex relationship? Like, that's got to be kind of hard. Like, that's opens up that vulnerability piece, you know, and also the communication piece, and also that, you know, emotional literacy and EQ as well. So I think you can see how incredibly powerful sex can be as a way to really create a very and more solid union inside the bedroom and outside the bedroom as well. Anything yet, John? No?
No, but I'm trying to open up this form that we had with Sophie that discussed a lot of stuff. But there we go. Of course, security protocols are keeping me from even signing into that. So this is almost comical. But I could tell you one thing that I remember, and I discussed this in the green room with you before, Will, was she mentioned this practice that sounds kind of wild at first when you hear it. You're like, what is this? Yeah. And she calls it the fuck versus kill practice.
Ooh.
which I'm like, what is that? And
exactly.
Know, the kind of the primal instincts that we're given is like, hey, can that thing kill me? Can I eat it? Or can I F it, right? When you are specifically talking about pursuit of, I don't know, another human being, a lot of the time you're thinking, specifically pursuit, you're thinking, can I kill it or can I F it, right? And this practice that she recommends men do is because a lot of the time, we have this primal rage in us that we don't get to let go of anymore. The practice is to get two pillows, and you put one pillow on either side of you. Mm-hmm. And now this is a practice that you do kind of on your own in a space where being loud is not going to be an issue. And you roll over and you basically put your war face on. I know a lot of people are familiar with the, hey, show me your war face, right? From the Full Metal Jacket back in the day, the Marine Corps movie. And you yell like you're trying to kill this pillow, like, right? Kill this pillow. Yeah. And you let out all this primal rage, the killing side of you. You do that for a while. And then when you're done with that, then you roll back over to the other pillow and you fuck it. In a primal way, right?
Like fuck it like a dog fucks a pillow?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah, I know. So exactly. This sounds kind of wild.
That's but okay. I'm listening.
In doing so, you're letting go of this primal instinct to do just that. It's not you making love to the pillow. It's not you being all super sweet. It's you doing the primal, right? It's like that old song, you and me ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do it on the Discovery Channel, right? That's what it is like. You basically do it to this pillow like you would on the Discovery Channel. And that releases that primal side, and then you do it back and forth and do it back and forth. And then the idea is that then you can be more emotionally present in your actual intimate times with your partner. Because a lot of the time, again, the man wants to be primal with their intimate partner. And sometimes that's exactly what, you know, our partners want. They want that primal piece. But sometimes they want more, especially after you've been together for a long time. They want more than just that primal side. And if you can bring that presence into the bedroom, if you can bring that emotional awareness, emotional intelligence into the bedroom by letting go of some of that primal part, then your partner can quite often be more open to who you are and what is going. And of course, this was this is funny, Will, that this was all this conversation was with Sophie a while back on Slack, and we don't have the pro plan with her, so it's all blurred out. So this may be one of our shorter episodes ever.
That's okay.
Hey, yeah.
Well, so, I mean, it sounds like a good exercise. And actually, you know, it's funny. Like I had, I remember back Howard Stern years ago used to do this whole little piece, "Fuck, Marry, Kill." Right. And he would just ask his guests to give three people, you know, I mean, like, who do you fuck? Okay. That's just the name. Who do you fuck? Who do you marry? Who do you kill in that case? But what that exercise you're talking about, John, it could be a great way for men. Right. And when Sophie comes back, come back, Sophie, because I could ask you this question. I'd imagine it's a great way to let go or kind of get let go of express that primal rage. Right.
Yeah.
And then need to just like, you know, like dominate or like imagine there's a lot that comes up in those, especially when you're screaming and, you know, with your war face on like that.
Right.
I could really see that actually kind of working as a really good tool, because that can just, I'd imagine, pacify, you know, more of the mind in some ways, because that's like out of you. And then the other side is like, you know, humping the pillow. And then maybe that could lend itself to, you know, more a greater intimacy because you don't have that that primal rage
or
that primal instinct. There you go. Yeah. And that makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's like, you know, I think it's like also, you know, what do we know about men? Like we have so much more testosterone than women. And this testosterone makes us do, you know, all sorts of, you know, look at the way we need to express ourselves as men sometimes, you know, like we love to, you know, throw shit, break shit, like, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like throw, you know, move weight around, you know, like it's just something about, it's like almost some like men. A biological, what's that? Yeah. It's well, I agree. Or, but also like, you know, there's a deeper sense of adventure in this too, you know, that comes along with, you know, just being man and having more of that, like that primal instinct. So I think we got to go with what we got sometimes, you know, in order to, you know, kind of get to a deeper sense of it's okay to really be very intimate and be very communicative and very honest and very vulnerable, and how that vulnerability, how that honesty can just not just transform your relationship, but how is that going to transform you? And how is that going to transform you? And how is that going to like allow you to maybe be more calm, be more present in other aspects of your life as well?
Right.
So,
yeah. Well, the other side of things is, you know, I talked about what you can do outside of the bedroom, but also what you can do internally. Some practices that Sophie told me about were, I'm going to forget the name of this one, but it's basically noticing, and this again sounds kind of wild, and don't get too wrapped up in the kind of the woo-woo-ness of it, but everything rotates, like the world spins, the moon rotates around the, or revolves around the moon. Oh, sorry, around the earth, and we revolve around the sun. Well, internally, our cells, the atoms, there's rotation there. And I think it's called a microcosmic orbit is what it was called. And this sounds like you're like, what the hell does this have to do with anything?
Yeah, but you sound like the woo-woo guy, John.
I know. Right. Well, I'm growing my hair. I think my hair might actually be longer than yours right now. It looks like you got a haircut recently. You're looking all clean and dapper over there. Anyway, that's why I wear a hat, because it takes long to style this crap. Anyway, the microcosmic inner orbit, I think, is what it's called. And you do this meditation, and you start to bring yourself in and start imagining yourself as a universe, essentially, and all these parts inside of you that are rotating, and you start to think, okay, I'm going to break myself down into organs, right? And I'm going to butcher this, and hopefully Sophie can come back on and get us back online. But if not, we'll continue. You bring yourself down into your organs, and then break that down into, you know, the cells, and then break those cells down into the atoms, and just imagine that each little piece is spinning. And then start to tune in to the spinning that's happening in your heart, and spinning down into your chest, down into your lungs, and then push all the way down into your, like, the lower spine and your groin.
Yeah.
And then as you start to think and feel that you are yourself have this power of essentially like a universe.
Yep.
Now, I don't want to sound like like you're godly or anything, but you are a universe, right? We've heard, hey, your body is a temple. Well, inside your body, think about everything that's happening inside that, right? And what an incredible experience having this body is.
Right.
And then what you can do and be with it, what you are and what you can do with it.
Yeah.
And then by bringing that incredible universe that you are together with another incredible universe, your partner, and seeing that, that really makes the experience very special. And again, making it very special instead of just fucking, then it can really open a lot of things up in your significant other, in your spouse, in your lover. So how weird was that?
I'd imagine there's got to be a nice, beautiful attunement if you're both circling together in uniform, and how that, like, you know, the power of two, how that amplifies the experience itself. But what you're kind of alluding here to, John, and to go really kind of woo-woo in some way, is the chakra system in the body, and each chakra spins, and it spins clockwise. Each chakra, each seven.
There you go.
So these little micro universes, right? We've used to test these. It's really interesting, you know, back in my yoga training days. And there's like seven chakras, and each one has this has its own little micro universe inside of it, and each has its own little energy space, and each one of these energy centers in the body, you know, connect to different parts of your energetic expression, right? So the lowest chakra in the body, Muladhara, it's called, is where, like, it's our sex, food, money, and survival. Or you go up one level, like just below the navel, it's I can't remember all the names, but this is more of like our sex energy, right? Getting into our solar plexus is next, right? Like that's where our power is. We get into the heart space, right? That's where love and vulnerability is. We get into the throat. That's how we communicate with the world. We get into the third eye, right? Which is like the insight. And then there's also one at the very top of our head, and it's almost like the I can't remember the name again, but it connects us to the divine, right? So it's like they call this channel called the Shishudna, right? It's like a chimney, and it runs all the way through the body that helps to, it's a central location for all of these energy chakras, each one of the seven. And what we would do, we'd lie flat, and we would check our chakras. This blew my mind, John, when I would do this. And you can do this at home and try it out. So we would take like something that would act like I don't know if it's not called a pendulum, but something, you know, something that's weighted at the center, right? So it almost like looks like a top or something like that. So something very heavy that you hold off a chain, and we would just hold this, you know, it's almost, you know, it's like a top. It looks like, you know, and it would hang it right over top. We'd lie flat, and someone would be working with you, and we'd hold this chain, right, with this very heavy weighted, you know, center, you know, thing underneath. I don't know what that name is. And we'd hold it over the chakra, right? And I couldn't believe it. If your chakra was closed, because that's one of the problems that people have, and even in this, and maybe this is something that Sophie, when she comes back, could talk about, is like the chakra, you know, down in the sex areas of our body, that could be closed. So when we were sitting there or lying down and someone's holding this pendulum, you know, if you had like a good active chakra, right, this pendulum or this would pick up the energy of the chakra and move. And I was like, holy cow, I can't believe that it's like moving. And then you'd hold another part of the body and it would be perfectly still. And I was like, there's no way. And we do it again. We see it in different people. And this same chain, the same thing, and everyone would be holding their hand like nice, perfectly still. And it would act in coordination with how active or non-active that chakra was. So to talk about those little, you know, those little micro universes in our body, they're real, you know, and we do have the world inside of us in a lot of ways. And I think we need to we need to honor that energy. It is very important because we are energetic beings. And what's nice about doing all this yoga stuff that I did so long and understanding the energetic nature of our being is then I can go in and I can work on that. I can change on that. There's different, you know, yoga poses, and there's different ways to help release that energy. But in those lower chakras, it could take a partner. It could take someone else that you need to really be clear on. That's like, I need first, you got to realize you need help in that area, and then go out and get that help. And how do you get that help is, again, through that, you know, the communication of vulnerability, the intimacy, and just really surrendering to the process and really letting go, and just seeing what's possible by getting out of the, you know, the boundaries and the confines of the mind.
What's interesting?
Yeah, I don't know.
Getting outside of the boundaries of the mind, but at the same time, coming back into the mind and the body, or I guess being more in the body than in the mind, right? We get wrapped up in the performance anxiety, right? We're like, I want to be the best lover this person has ever had.
Right.
And then in doing that, we don't enjoy the moment. And by our not enjoying the moment, our partner doesn't enjoy the moment. So by being mindful and getting into your body and being in the moment, experiencing the beauty of that moment, mindfulness can be a powerful tool in overcoming that performance anxiety. And it kind of helps to shift the focus from worrying about the performance, right? Because that's what it sometimes becomes. It becomes like, I want to be this musical instrument or this musical symphony, and I want to have this amazing performance, and I want to be able to talk about it for years to come. This has to be the best performance. Every single time I do it, it has to be the best. And that can kind of, by being just in the moment in your body, it can alleviate that pressure, that anxiety, making it more relaxed and enjoyable for us. And if we are more relaxed and enjoying it more than our partner's going to also do that. Now, taking it one step further, you know, when we are stressed, and that stress is outside of the bedroom, you know, what does that stress do inside the bedroom, right? I'm sure we've all experienced high levels of stress at some point. And the last thing that you really are thinking about when you're really stressed out is the bedroom. So, you know, coming back to what mindfulness does for our performance, it gives us the opportunity to have that libido again. Now, I don't think we've talked about mindfulness and mindfulness-based stress reduction. I personally don't like that name, even though I am an MBSR teacher. I think stress is there, right? It just changes your relationship with that stress. It changes how you handle it. The only way you're really going to eliminate stress is if you go live in a cave somewhere. You don't have any friends. You don't have any animals. You don't have any job. Like, you don't have anything. And even then, there's going to be physical stressors, right?
Right.
But there's no way to eliminate stress in your life, but there's a way to change your relationship with it. And in doing so, you can rejuvenate your libido, or I guess is a way to say it. So like, the practices that we teach you on the show, meditation, mindful eating, drinking water, mindful nutrition, that's going to
exercise.
Absolutely.
Big one.
Absolutely. Exercise is huge. I mean, the times that I've been lacking in exercise, my libido is gone.
Yeah. I was going to say, the motion is the lotion. And all the guys out there, you can think of lotion, you know, in your lives and how that's helped you through puberty. I'm sorry, right? Oh, my God. You know what I'm talking about. I'm sorry.
Wow. Okay. Yep.
Sorry. Hey, okay.
Sorry. Raw, uncut, and unapologetic. what about, you know, we've talked about Tantra in the past, and you know, the other side of it being outside of the bedroom, not necessarily sexually related at all, but let's talk about what it is inside the bedroom. I mean, it's like Sting, you know, the singer is famous for being a tantric lover. But you know, what What is that? What does that mean? And what are, I guess, what are some erotic mindfulness practices without turning this into a porno, right? Because we're going to be having discussions on pornography next season.
And, yes. And June, actually, no, June 3rd.
Actually, the end of this season, we're bringing Elise Michaels. Elise is, you know, a men's therapist, obviously a woman who is a men's therapist, and talked on one post about why so many men are addicted to pornography. And it's not just necessarily, I'm sure a lot of it is sex addiction, but it's not necessarily and exclusively sex related. They're really, you know, watching porn for other reasons. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Basically, what I don't want to do is turn this episode into a porno with two guys. Well,
that would be a very, yeah, I know, like a virtual porno. That'd be very different.
So, So, you know, what are, you know, some erotic mindfulness practices that men could do? And you've talked about one a little bit earlier with the masturbation,
edging.
Right?
Yeah, edging, yeah.
Yeah. So do you got any tips for our listeners? Tips? Just the
tip. Yeah, right. Yeah, just tip. Oh, God. I know, right?
This show is starting to go sideways. Well,
I'm probably not the best person to talk about right now. Like, God, I have not, to be fully honest. Like, I really haven't been intimate in a little while. But, like, other than intimate when I work, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Just I'll tell you what could really create some more intimacy in your life is listen to your partner. Listen more often than speaking. Listen more often than trying to provide solutions to your partner. Mm. You know, letting them open up, letting them just vent, letting them just whatever they need to. You know, because that's one thing I keep learning, you know, and keep, you know, keeping in mind that, hey, you have two ears and one mouth, so you should be hearing, listening twice as much as you're speaking.
Right.
And maybe that can solve a lot of your problems or take a lot of the stress out of your relationship just by listening more often instead of, this is something that I learned, you know, in the training I did with Stanford and the compassion training is like, you know, active listening and really what that looks like. And that's not like, you know, waiting to speak, you know, and a lot of guys do that. Yeah. A lot of guys do that. They're just, they're not really listening. They're just waiting to speak. And in that case, what you're waiting to speak on, depending on the circumstance, is you're trying to, you know, bring it back to yourself by, you know, maybe one-upping the other person or relating to them in some way, which is good. But like sometimes it's just listen. Or it could be you're trying to like fix a problem or provide a solution or give some advice or something like that. And that's not listening either.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing like the vulnerability, intimacy, and the connection you can create any relationship, especially your intimate ones, when you're just listening and really listening to what they're saying and really try to get down deeper into what the need is that they're trying to express. And that can really change any relationship.
Big time.
Especially any intimate relationship for sure.
Oh, yeah. And I'm actually going to be talking tomorrow with an organization about active listening and how important that active listening is. And I don't even like calling it active listening. I just like calling it mindful listening, mindful conversations, mindful communication, because active listening, you know, as good as it is, I think it's only implying really the listening piece. But in communication, there's a lot more. There's body language, there's communication via intonation. There's, the stance that somebody is taking. There's a lot there, but also over and above verbal communication, email communication, you know, what's said there. And that's again, another whole episode, but it maybe you could tie it into this episode by, you know, we text our partners, right? We text our significant, intimate partners. And what are you texting? Like, and I'm not talking sexting necessarily, but I mean, if that's where it goes, that's great. But you know, maybe you should consider texting something more than the grocery list at the end of the day, and you know, texting that you love them, that you enjoy spending time with them, that you enjoy being intimate with them, and that being intimate doesn't necessarily mean sex, which is another piece. Mm. Being intimate. And as a man, it that often means that ends with ejaculation, right? We're like, okay, you're intimate, you ejaculate, and then you roll over and go to sleep.
Right. And so that's not all that matters, John.
That's just not all that matters.
It's not
right.
Okay. Thank you.
Wham, bam. Thank you, ma'am. It's being present before the actual act of having sex and being intimate before even getting naked, right?
Right.
And then being intimate and in the moment in the experience, and then remaining in the moment afterwards. That's a form of communication too. What are you communicating? If all you do is roll over and go to bed, you're like, hey, that's all this was about was the end goal right here. Yeah, but when you spend time in the moment prior to, then in the experience, and then afterwards, basically being mindful, that can really change the relationship with your partner. It expresses that it was about more than that. And while I'm thinking, actually, go ahead. Do you have anything on that? Because I have one.
No. I mean, I just think, you know, one thing I'm really becoming more aware of about how a lot of men behave. I'm making generalization, but everyone listening out there, tell me how accurate this is and be honest with yourself. Is like, and this maybe comes from a lot of fear in men of being vulnerable, being authentic, and being seen, you know, just for who they are, is a lot of approach to almost everything with men is in a transactional way. And instead of it being about this another person, this person has needs, this person, you know what I mean, is like, you know, has a life, has a, you know, it could be, you know, and that just goes, you know, transactional in business. I get it in some ways, but like, how do you bring the humanity into it? How do you kind of alleviate a lot of that transactional, even in the bedroom? I would just like, you know, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. That is actually transactional sex.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, you're right. I just want to have like, hey, and I got to say, orgasms feel great.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, and that's amazing that we're able to do that. I mean, and it's like it's biologically wired that way. So we come back and do it again. Right. But how much more pleasure can you derive from sexual intercourse by taking it out of the transactional realm and into a deeper, intimate connecting realm? So that's all I want to say there.
Yeah. No, I love it. I've been guilty of that, right?
I dated a girl
I was at the, it was a long distance relationship, and it was when I was at the Naval Academy, and she lived in just outside my hometown in Louisiana.
Right.
And I would, you know, fly home to see her, but my family was also there, and I would fly home, go to see her first, you know, spend some time alone with her, and then when I was done, I was like, all right, I'm packing up. I'm going to go see my family. That was terrible, man. Go ahead.
It goes both ways. I've absolutely been kicked out. You know, it's like, you know, I'm the one who wants to snuggle, and I'm the one who wants to, like, you know, have, like, you know, like, get to know them a little bit.
I shouldn't laugh.
Yeah, I know, but no, I mean, it's, you can laugh. It's all good. I mean, you know, because I've been on both sides, you know. So like, it works on both ways. It's not just men, but like some women, they just want to, you know, have some sex, and, you know, I happen to be the guy, and you know, and then they're just like, okay, thanks, I got to go to bed.
Right.
Like, yep. Yep. Shit. But you know, so it goes both ways, and it goes for all people. But
yeah.
Wow.
The other piece that I had in mind when we were discussing, when we were discussing communication, right, and active listening.
Yeah.
A part that is very important to communicate, I think and I know, is the discrepancies in the sex drives, right? As a man may have a way more of a sex drive because of the testosterone and because of other things versus your significant other. I mean, and that could be a woman, it could be a man, but you're going to have varying sex drives, right? And I think communicating that is very important. And then discussing openly what your needs are, express those needs, and then finding a middle ground. I think that's a middle ground that kind of meets both perspectives,
right? And both needs as well. You know what I mean? Like, you know, so say if like I would like to have sex, you know, a couple days a week or a few days a week, you know, being in you know a longer relationship, you know, and your spouse only wants to have one or two. Yeah. I mean, or like zero.
Right. And that, so you know, that that could very well be the situation, specifically in a family situation where there's kids involved and there's, you know, the paternal versus the maternal instincts and you know, the focus, as much as people would like to say, hey, the focus should be on your spouse or your significant other, it's rarely are you the priority. If there's children in the mix, rarely are you the priority. And communicating that you feel like you're being left out of the equation, I think that's important. And then you know, the stressors. Hey, what stressors are in our lives? Communicating that openly and being like, hey, look, our money situation right now is causing me stress, which is decreasing my libido. Or you know, what can we do together to lessen? Here I am. I just talked about lessening stress, but what can we do together to cut out some stress, right? If have all this debt, paying off that debt. Maybe if it's work, what can you do at work to lessen your stress so that you can be more present or more available to your partner?
Right.
I think those are some very important things to communicate. Now, coming back to testosterone that we talked about at the beginning of the show, you know, obviously. Yeah.
Why don't you hold that thought for a second, John? And I'm just going to talk about one of our new forever sponsors for Men Talking Mindfulness was Karambit Tactical Knives, found exclusively on karambit.com. These knives are more than just tools. They're a testament to precision and reliability. As a small business owned by a Navy SEAL veteran, every Karambit knife is rigorously tested and approved by the best. Whether for self-defense or everyday carry, Karambit knives are the ultimate choice, boosting over 50 brands and models to suit your needs. Thank you, Karambit Tactical Knives, for becoming a forever sponsor of Men Talking Mindfulness and for being a steadfast partner in personal safety and preparedness. If you want to learn more about Karambit knives, just go to karambit.com. That's karambit.com. And we thank you again for that sponsorship. And if you want to become a sponsor of the show, head to mentalkingmindfulness.com or head over to the text MTM to 33777. So, John, what were you going to say about testosterone?
Well done, man. Well done. You worked that in perfectly. Let me tell you about these Karambit knives real quick. I have some.
Really?
And oh man, they're awesome. They look like
I better get a free knife, a velociraptor.
You know, like, you know, remember the velociraptors?
It's so cool.
On freaking, how am I spacing on
Jurassic Park?
Thank you, Jurassic Park. Yeah. They look like that. They look like velociraptor claws.
Oh, nail.
Curved and they have a circle at the bottom that you could put your thumb in, so you could use it as self-defense. Pretty cool. But again, that's neither here nor there. But thank you again, Karambit, for the sponsorship. So I wanted to come back to the testosterone, right? As we get older, obviously our T decreases, and that's associated with a decrease in desire. So that can also be a change in and testosterone is on both sides, right? Male and female. And if your partner's testosterone has dropped significantly because of physiological or emotional
stress,
things, that can totally tie into the loss of libido. So maybe that's something that you wanted to go get checked. Now, I'm not a clinician, I'm not a doctor, but maybe it's something that you wanted to get checked to see if you are at the natural and expected normal or even optimal levels for your age and for your gender, and that can be very helpful in changing your libido, and then eating right, like
totally.
I know we're kind of all over the place on this show, but hey, we're kind of playing it by ear and we're having fun with it. But when we had Uma Naidu on the show, this is your brain on food. You know, this is your brain on food, but this is also your body on food. And it's not just about, you know, what that does to your physical what you look like physically, but what that does to your body and your ability to actually perform in the bedroom, like erectile dysfunction, that can be helped through eating properly.
What do we learn from Dr. Judson Brandeis, right? Erectile dysfunction is a huge indicator of circulation problems,
heart problems,
heart health. Exactly. Yeah. And it was interesting. I think, there is almost like a slow decline. If you're having some sort of heart issue, it'll show up in erectile dysfunction over time. Like there's a slow decline that happens over, I think it was,
yeah. So it's, I don't know, it's, I think like it's 10 years or yeah, something. Yeah. So I like think that. It's if you start not a, not having that morning wood, right?
Yeah. There you go.
The morning wood is a sign of sexual health, but it's also a sign of your heart health. Yep, and if you stop having that, if I'm remembering this correctly, then 10 years or so later, you will probably experience some level of ED. And then roughly 10 years later, you can expect to have some type of dangerous heart problem, like a heart attack, that not just your heart attack that's going to put you in the hospital for a day, but literally dying. So look out for your sexual health, because it's a sign of your heart health. So eating right can, the flip side of that, eating right can help to help your heart, and in heart helping your heart, you can help your sex life. So
your boners.
basically.
Well, it's interesting how it's like an indication of health in some ways.
Yeah,
you know, and go check that episode if you're listening. I love talking to Judson. That guy really is sharp, and he wrote this, or helped co-wrote and put together this collection of incredible
men's health
research, men's health on all levels, all levels. And one way that we express ourselves as men is in a sexual way, for sure. Or most of us do, or want to. Well, John, I think we're pretty good, man. What do you want to say? Yeah, please.
One more thing. Because I know we're all over the place here, but I think
we're doing great.
Interesting. We've done an episode on body image, right? Good episode, I thought. I mean, even if I'm biased,
totally.
But how important the body image is in our own sexuality, right? Some people are like, I'm not going to have sex unless the lights are off, because I don't want to be seen naked. So, coming back to nutrition and exercise, having a more attractive body in your mind,
right?
Not just in your partner's mind, but literally when you look in the mirror, you start to feel better about yourself. And I'm certainly not promoting not eating. I'm certainly not promoting exercising to a point that it becomes an addiction. Yeah. But exercise and eating more healthy can make you start to feel better,
right?
But also feel better about yourself.
Right.
And as you feel better about yourself, then you're going to have more confidence, and then your partner is actually going to be more attracted to you, more based on your confidence and your sense of your body image than your body itself. Though, I mean, that your body could definitely play into it, but your confidence is the piece that's going to really tie into it more than
that. And we've seen this before, Sophie's not here. Okay, what was Brett Larkin?
Yeah, Brett Larkin.
You know, like what women look for more in men is not, you know, I mean, sometimes it's nice, you know, or women will look for that, you know, chiseled this, chiseled that, but they just want a man, a lot of times, are just grounded, present, and is going to take care of them or protect them in some ways. And it's like, you know, so you don't have to be like, you know, look like, you know, Brad Pitt or something like that, or, you know, some other whatever, whoever's out there that's, you know, what's Chris Hensley? Who's your man crush?
He's both mine and my wife's man crush.
Oh, wow.
My wife is very, that's the Hollywood Hall pass or whatever for her.
You guys are hilarious.
If Chris Hemsworth comes along and, and is available to her, then she gets that hall pass. But yeah, I've also got the man, the non-sexual man crush on him. He's a he's a hell of a guy. Maybe one day we'll have him on the show because he's, you know, some type of mindfulness practitioner. You know, his show on Limitless was a really interesting show on longevity and decreasing.
We'll get him eventually.
Eventually. Hey, if you're listening and you're friends with Chris Hemsworth, help us get him on the show. Also, Matthew McConaughey. We're looking to get Matthew McConaughey on the show. So help us out.
exactly. And George Mumford. Have you know George
Mumford? Yeah, George Mumford.
Right, George Mumford.
Helped to teach the Bulls.
We're trying to get on the show.
Mindfulness.
Well, also, hey, speaking of, I just got in the mail yesterday, John. Magic Doty's Mind by Dr. James Doty's coming on sometime July 7th, I believe. So we're excited to have him back on.
I got a picture and I sent it to him too.
Oh, you did? Yeah, I was going to bust his balls on LinkedIn and be like, yo, I hope this book's good. Well, I mean, he did. You know, I got to know him a little bit, not just from the show, but also, you know, through going through the training at Stanford. Like, he founded the program and I got to the program because of the show and because of interviewing him. So I got to thank him when he comes on. He's a really good guy, and what a ball buster that guy is. So we're going to have a really good time.
Oh, I remember when we first met him, he came on the show, and before we even got five words out of our mouths, we're like, how you doing? He's like, just fucking fantastic.
No, he goes, this is what he goes. I was like, hey, Dr. Doty, how are you? He goes, fucking peachy.
Oh, that's what it was.
I was like, oh, this is going to be fun. I hope he's not angry. Yeah, but he acted out.
What a character.
Really great interview.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for covering Will. You've done a great job on this episode
both of
and,
us,
you know, always. Stepping up. And, you know, for those of you who hung in there for this episode, you know, after Sophie dropped, we'll hopefully get Sophie back on another time to have some discussions on this point. But we've thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. And thank you for tuning in. Thank you for staying with us. Will, how do you want to wrap this up, man?
Well, no, there was some value here. We still have 8 people listening, so thank you.
Hey,
as many as 11. So, like, you know, so this is definitely a worthwhile show. So, thank you, everyone, for checking this out. We'll have Sophie back. John, I just enjoyed having this very candid and very unstructured at all, really, conversation about, you know, our lives and sex and men and testosterone and, you know, intimacy and relationships and vulnerability and listening and communication and, I mean, all the things that, you know, that we, you know, as we continually go down this mindfulness path with you, our audience, our community, to just, you know, we can live healthier, happier, more harmonious lives, right? By just taking little steps. And sometimes a step is like, you might be just listening to the show for like a year and be like, you know what? I'm going to go to the gym. You know what? I'm going to have that conversation with my wife. You know, you know what? Or I'm going to go do this, you know, instead of doing something that's like, you know, just keep me on the couch and keep me locked into my mind. So thank you, everybody. We really, 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 really appreciate you. And, you know, again, mentalkandmindfulness.com or, you know, get on our text MTM to 33777 is a way to keep up and connect to what we're doing. We have a lot coming up, you know, the rest of this year and for years to come. So
that's right.
Thank you for being part of this community.
We've already filled, you know, like 80% of our next season with phenomenal guests. Very much excited about that. There's always in the back of my mind, I'm like, how are we going to continue this show? And then I look at the number of potential guests, people reaching out to us all the time, and I'm very thankful for that. So thank you for helping us stay relevant and helping us help our community. So thank you for helping us also maintain our mission. So, all right, let's wrap it up with a quick closing practice, and then we'll say goodbye for the day.
You got it, my brother. And what I'll say, one last thing, John, is, hey, and if you have a suggestion for an episode, you know, please, like, you know, there's no shortage of ways to get in contact with us, or maybe, hey, Instagram at mentalkandmindfulness.com is a great way to do that.
Yeah.
So, Angel Substack. So Angel, here we go. So text MTM, just those three letters, MTM two, and in the text, the phone number is 33777. And you can be part of our text, our SSM service. We don't spam you. We just let you know what we're doing, what's coming up, new episodes, that sort of thing. So we appreciate you for being part of our text stream. It's just an easy way to stay in touch, an easy way to stay more mindful, easy way to, you know, keep living this lifestyle. So after you, John, please.
Yeah, right on. So yeah, let's, you know, I got a little anxious when Sophie dropped off and didn't come back, but Will picked up that ball and ran with it. So I'm just going to run us through a quick gratitude practice because I am very thankful for Will covering the first few minutes of this episode before we got into a really good discussion. So let's, you know, tune in to our bodies, our minds, and do that by getting comfortable. And let's just breathe naturally, but notice the breath. And in doing so, bring your hands together, clasp them together, and then try to keep them as still as possible. And in addition to being aware of the physical aspects of your inhalation and your inhalation, tune into the physical sensation in your hands. You may notice the pulsing of your blood through your fingers, through your hands, and think about what that is. That is your life force, your blood carrying everything that your body needs throughout your body, pumped by your heart. And as you're tuning in to that physical sensation in your hands and thinking about that blood flow, that pulsing, tune into your heart and express some gratitude for what it is you have in your life. Express that gratitude from your heart. Express gratitude for the people, the relationships in your life, your significant others, your family, your friends, your colleagues, thanking them here silently from your heart. And perhaps later today, thanking them verbally, also from your heart. Notice the messages that are bubbling up in your mind from your heart right now, and think about carrying those forward through the day, and then perhaps expressing them out loud. And I am very thankful for your giving me this time and this space to run you guys through this meditation. And we're going to close together with two deep cleansing breaths. Begin by exhaling, letting that breath out, emptying all the way, and holding empty at the bottom. Deep breath in, into your belly first, then into your chest, holding full at the top, and letting go. Letting go, letting go, and holding empty at the bottom. And on this final breath, breathe in into your belly, into your chest, and breathe in gratitude for yourself, for showing up today, for tuning in. Hold at the top and let it go, and express gratitude for those around you. And now start to bring some movement back into your body, wiggling your fingers, wiggling your toes, rolling your head around, rolling your shoulders. And that is that. Thank you again for tuning in. Will, thanks for a great show today. I really enjoyed it.
Likewise, dude. Me too. It's fun. Yeah. A lot of fun. Yeah. A lot of fun. Yeah. Oh, one letter. Hey, guess who I'm going to hang out with today for the very first time in person?
Who's that?
Dr. Seth Hickerson.
Oh, no way, man.
Yeah. Right, so I get it. Actually, I've known Dr. Seth not quite as long as I'd known you. And I've been teaching for his company, My Steady Mind, for years.
Yeah.
And he's finally in the city. We're actually going to go to this big fancy bathhouse.
Oh, yes. Out. Dude, I was just going to say you should take
it. Yeah, we're going to go. There's a new one, John, next time you come in town. It's called Bathhouse in Flatiron, New York City. It's fantastic. I'll give them a little plug.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. So we're going to go hang out there. I'm going to miss the Knicks game. The Knicks are on a tear right now. They're in, they won, the Knicks never fucking win. So they have won their first series and they are, they're going for game two tonight. So I will miss that. But anyway, thank you, everybody. Thank you, John. This was a lovely, lovely episode. And we'll see you guys on the flip side. Stay connected.
Yeah, well, I gotta give a little plug to my Nuggets. You know, yeah, they're down 2-0. But
oh, Nuggets! I thought you were talking about your balls. I'm like,
oh yeah, also those.
Great way to close it out, right?
No, well, my Denver Nuggets.
Right. Yeah,
Denver Nuggets. Yeah, they're great. They're in the playoffs. Down, I think 2-0 to the Timberwolves. But yeah. Anyway, hey, thank you, Will, for another great show. Thank you all again for tuning in. And yeah, I will stop saying that, and I'm just gonna wrap it up.
Yeah.
Till next time.
We're out.
Take care. We're out.
Peace, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you walk away with some new tools and insights to guide you on your life journey. New episodes are being published every week, so please join us again for some meaningful discussion. For more information, please check out mentalkingmindfulness.com.